Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
How can we be a community that is reaching out into our towns with the good news of Jesus? In these verses, we are being shown an attractive gospel community, one that is united by the good news of Jesus and on fire for the Lord. And as the hope they have in Jesus was being displayed in the way they cared for each other and worshipped the Lord, God was using them to bring people to himself. They were the kind of community that was reaching out into their towns with the good news of Jesus. This description of the early church comes just days after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. It had only been a few days since the believers had been empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim what God had done through Jesus. And they did this in languages that they had not learnt through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter had only just proclaimed God's plan of salvation to that same crowd and warned them to save themselves from this corrupt generation and to repent and be baptized. And as we look at how the church was interacting with each other and hear about how on fire they were for the Lord, it would be easy for us to look at these verses and dismiss them and the way these believers were interacting with each other and the Lord as some sort of spiritual high that they'll probably come down from not all that long after. But in reality, what these verses are showing us is the church in its purest and most attractive form. These early believers had no building of their own, no church finances. All they had was their love for the Lord and for each other. And yet, God was using them to grow his church and to bring people to himself. When God's people live in community that's inspired by their hope in Jesus, their love for Christ and for each other is attractive. And so, as these believers lived in the light of the hope they have in Jesus, the Lord used them to bring people to himself. And so, as we look at these verses today and think about what kind of community we need to be in order to reach into the towns, into our towns, with the good news of Jesus, we are going to be reminded that the body of Christ is most attractive, most effective for the gospel, when our love is fixed on our greatest joy, and that is Jesus. And these early believers were displaying this joy in four different ways. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, it's important for us to understand what Luke is referring to when he says that the church was devoted to these things. The word translated devoted in verse 42 is the same word in the original language that's translated continued in verse 46. And so these early believers were continually displaying these attributes. These attributes became a part of who they were and how they lived. And as they devoted themselves, as they continued on in these things, they became an attractive church. And the church drew people to itself because of the love they had for each other and for those outside the church. The believers were devoted to the apostles' teaching. At this point, the church was still being led by the apostles. There were no pastors or elders opening up the scriptures for the congregation. The apostles themselves were opening up the scriptures, as Peter had done on the day of Pentecost, to show the believers how all the scriptures point to God's plan of salvation through Jesus. And the whole congregation were devoted to the teaching of the apostles. They made it a priority in their lives. They listened, they reflected, and they applied it to their lives. And they did this because they knew how much of a difference the good news of Jesus had already made in their own lives. And out of gratitude for what Jesus had done for them, they wanted to know more about him and learn to be like Jesus themselves. And so they regularly made time to sit under the teaching of the apostles and to hear from God's word. The believers were also devoted to fellowship. They had a close relationship with one another. Now let's not forget that these were Jewish believers from every different nation under heaven. This was a diverse group with a wide range of backgrounds and languages, and they came from a diverse range of cultures. But because of their common joy in the hope of their salvation, they were being united in Christ. This image of the fellowship of these believers had reminds me of my experience on campus at Bible College. The Bible College I went to had a lot of international students who were from a diverse range of backgrounds. Here I was, a fairly average country guy who was a full-time mechanic only a few weeks earlier, among a large number of students from just about every possible continent and culture. Some of these other students grew up in densely packed cities in Asia and other places. For many, English wasn't their first language, and most of these students had very little understanding or interest in anything mechanical. But because of the hope we shared in the good news of Jesus, our differences melted away as we shared about what God had been doing in our lives and what he was doing now. And that's the kind of fellowship that these believers were experiencing. They had a strong desire to be with one another, despite their differences. And it brought them great joy to spend time with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Not because they agreed on everything or saw everything the same way, but because of the hope they had in common. And because that hope mattered to them most. The hope they had in Jesus. They didn't meet together because they felt like they should or because they felt like it was the right thing to do. They were devoted to meeting together in fellowship around God's word because despite their many differences, they were united by the joy they had in Jesus. The believers were devoted to the breaking of bread. Sometimes the term to break bread can be used to talk about sharing a meal together. But in this case, the inclusion of the word the before breaking bread implies that this is speaking about a special meal. And the position of the phrase the breaking of bread between fellowship and prayer, two different acts of worship, implies that this isn't speaking about having an ordinary meal together, but about another form of worship, observing the Lord's Supper. These early believers were not just observing the Lord's Supper as an occasional remembrance. They were committed to the ongoing observance of this meal. Why? Well, they wanted to keep Christ's sacrifice for them in the forefronts of their mind as they worshipped and fellowshipped together. And so whenever they met, they would share the Lord's Supper together and give thanks to God for what he had done for them through Jesus. And the believers were devoted to prayer. In the Greek, this verse literally reads the prayers, which suggests that these were specific liturgical or well-known public prayers that they would regularly pray together. The Lord's Prayer may have been one of them. given the context and the location they were in the temple courts, they were more than likely meeting at the set times of prayer in the temple of the Lord. And when they prayed, they no doubt also prayed to their heavenly Father. When Jesus taught the apostles to pray, he taught them to pray, Abba, Father. Or in other words, he taught them to pray to God the Father as a child would, with respect to a loving earthly father, as a child would speak to a loving earthly father. And this would have no doubt been a part of the apostles' teaching. So this kind of intimate prayer to their heavenly Father would have become a part of what these believers did every time they met together and brought their prayers and petitions before the Lord. Devotion to the apostolic teaching, fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer were all key attributes that defined the worship and service of these early believers, as they displayed the kind of joy that can only be found in Jesus. And as they worshipped in this way, they were being prepared through worship for the mission that God had for them. And as a consequence, they were all filled with awe. They were filled with a deep sense of reverent fear and unworthiness before our holy God. They were experiencing what it is like to be in the presence of God among his people. And as they saw the work of the Holy Spirit radically changing the lives of those around them and working in their own lives, they began to feel a deep sense, a deep desire to care for each other's needs. And so they shared whatever they had. They made sure that no one among them was in need. Some even sold their possessions and goods to help others who were in the congregation who were in need. But this wasn't compulsory. It wasn't a requirement of being a part of the early church. Nor was it some sort of commune arrangement where they'd all live together, because in verse 46 we're told that they still worshipped in their own homes. Rather, this was an act of worship that these believers did willingly and joyfully as they worshipped the Lord with everything they had, freely giving and receiving from each other as needed. Verse 46 tells us that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They single-mindedly worshipped the Lord together as one body, and as their love for the Lord and for each other shone brightly, they became an attractive church, a church that won the respect of those outside, and they enjoyed the favour of all the people. These verses show us that even though we are saved as individuals, we aren't saved to serve God on our own. These believers heard the good news of Jesus being proclaimed in their own native languages, and they each heard the good news and they each came to Christ. But as they came to saving faith, they were joined into one body united by Christ. As Romans 12 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. If we are in Christ, we, like these early believers, all have a responsibility to each other. As members of one body, they spurred each other on to love and good deeds. And as members of one body, they sharpened each other in their walk with the Lord as iron sharpens iron. And as they served the Lord, they served in community, because we aren't saved to serve God on our own. These verses also show that the local church is most attractive to those outside when Jesus is our greatest joy. These believers devoted themselves to the word, to spending time with each other, and to sharing the Lord's Supper and prayer. This was a church that was on fire for the Lord, a church full of people who wanted to hear from God's word, and a church who cherished spending time together. These believers were living and serving the way that Jesus had commanded them to. They were living in a way that reflected Christ himself. As Jesus says in John 13, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Or in other words, our love for each other is not separate from our love for Jesus. If Jesus is our greatest joy, then loving our brothers and sisters will not be a burden. It will be a joy. After all, how has Jesus loved us? He loved us by dying in our place, by humbling himself and sacrificially laying down his life for us. And so if Jesus is our greatest joy, then dying to ourselves, humbling ourselves for the sake of those Jesus died for, will actually bring us joy, because as we do that, we'll be giving God the glory that he deserves for what he has done in our lives. A congregation that's greatest joy is in Jesus is an attractive church, and it's an attractive church because the good news of Jesus is on display. How can we be a church that is reaching out into our towns with the good news of Jesus? Well, we need to be a church whose lives individually and corporately display the joy we have in Jesus. We possess the greatest news that anyone could ever hear, that through faith in Jesus, we no longer have to fear death. That through faith in Jesus, we are no longer separated from God by the guilt of our sins. And that through faith in Jesus, this certain hope cannot be taken away. We have this hope in Jesus. And so if we put this hope on display like these early believers, through our love for each other and the Lord, then we too will be an extremely attractive church. Who wouldn't want to be a part of a church like that? Who wouldn't want to spend time with a church family who are sacrificially loving each other in the same way that Jesus has shown his love for them? So if we, as a church family, want to be effective in reaching out to the lost, if we want to be an attractive congregation to those who don't yet know the Lord, then we need to display the joy we have in Jesus by our devotion to our Saviour and his word, and by our love for each other. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to find our greatest joy in Jesus. Help us to love each other as Jesus has loved us. Help us to put the joy we have in Jesus on display so that those who don't know you might see the hope we have in Christ Jesus and might want it for themselves. And Lord, we pray this in his name. Amen.